And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one.
And that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh,
the podcast,
podcast,
the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That's right. Look, I log it in this Friday. Oh, yeah. I got a great show coming at you, so make sure you lock it in.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of our buddies. He's in radio, and we're suggesting he might have gotten a little drunk.
Maybe.
And decided to do a live stream.
A little promo.
That's right. Luca, log it in this Friday. Oh, yeah. I got a great show coming at you, so make sure you lock it in.
When he hears this, he's going to be mad at us.
Hell, he is. Sorry. But it's pretty great, man. It's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah. By the way, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And we're Big D and Bubba.
Hey, so sometime over the next, I don't know, maybe spend the next, this weekend or next few days, and you have kids, probably like 18 and under, you have to have the conversation and tell them about the time about when Milli Vanilli was hitting the scene and was huge and had hit songs.
This is weird that you're having this conversation because we just went through the Milli Vanilli thing 2 weeks ago.
With the kids?
Yeah, with the kids. Like, we were rocking out to Girl You Know It's True.
It's a jam.
And what was the, it's a tragedy for me.
Yeah.
That one, the,
Yeah, and then they had Blame It on the Rain. That's all I remember.
Dude, they were, man, everybody can make fun of Milli Vanilli all you want, but the music itself for like 80s, early 90s pop was really good.
But why didn't the people who are the real behind the scenes come out and just go, hey, this is us, because it's the music.
Okay, I just saw a thing on this. By the way, before we dive into this, I do want to say, right after the end of the podcast, for those of you who are listening on podcast apps, you're going to hear an amazing songwriter spotlight from one of the best country songwriters around. His name is Luke Laird, and I implore you, stick around for that because it's good. The guy is incredibly talented, and he's written probably half of your favorite songs. Now, getting back to Milli Vanilli. I read a whole article on the thing. Basically, their producer, manager, it's kind of the one and the same, kind of tricked them into signing a deal that said they're going to be the faces of these other guys that he has as studio musicians. Patrick just walked in. And the other guys were in Germany, expats, and they were living there. They ended up doing the songs. The Fabrice Morvan and the other guy ended up being the faces and the onstage presence.
They brought Rob and Fab into the studio and had them record.
But it wasn't the same.
But they didn't use it. Like, they thought, wow, we sound good. There was like a point early on where they believed it. They were just as much tricked as the rest of us.
Oh, they thought that. No.
They didn't buy. The article I read was from whichever one is alive, because one of them committed suicide.
Fab is alive.
Okay. Yeah. So Fabrice Morvan said, we didn't like it, but he had us under contract.
Oh, yeah. They found it out after the record came out, but they actually went in and recorded all the stuff. And they thought it was going to be them on the record. And then they heard the record and were like, I don't think that's us.
Anyway, so the whole thing went out. And they were under contract to where if they had – the guy was holding – and I forget what it was. He was holding them basically hostage.
Yeah.
His contract with them was like slavery, and they couldn't get out of it. And it wasn't until they were exposed.
And then they got caught on stage and exposed.
Right.
And he, before they could say anything, he outed them. He sent a release saying, yeah, it's not really them.
And then if I'm not mistaken, he actually kind of blamed them. Like, he said, this was their idea or some crazy stuff like that.
I thought that Milli Vanilli came out because it messed up on the track.
It did, on stage. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was
people,
a very famous.
People
had suspected it for a long time, though.
But you know what the crazy thing? We really ought to look in the mirror at ourselves and go, why that was so popular. That music was so good.
Yep.
And everybody loved it. They had 5 top 10 hits on that record and won the Grammy for Best New Artist and everything. Mm-hmm. And then we find out it's not really them singing. Did anyone ever go, well, okay, but the music's still good. Can't we find out who those guys were? Well, it was, so they were older.
I saw.
They were not, you know.
On YouTube, there is a video of Fabrice Morvan, the guy who's the one who's still alive, the lighter skin of the two.
Yeah.
He's the one who's still alive.
No.
He's singing. Oh,
no.
No.
No, the lighter skin guy was Rob, and he died.
Oh, okay. Well, I can feel. It's been a long time. Anyway, well, he's on stage, and he's joined by the real singer. So they do a duet, and basically the real singer sounds just like the old songs, and Fabrice is there holding his own. And, dude, it's on YouTube. It's out there. It's like, do Milli Vanilli, real singer, and Fab, and it's really good. Like, they sound great together. And I'm like, why don't they tour? Because, well, I would go see that. I used to love those songs.
Why didn't the guys behind Milli Vanilli put out another record? And I think they did, and we didn't buy it.
We didn't buy it.
Nobody wanted it at that point.
Nobody wanted it. And I'm like, you know, those songs are still good. I don't know who it was singing those songs, but they were really good.
I'm looking it up, man.
I'm in love with you, girl, girl, girl. I'm in love with you, girl, girl.
John Davis is the guy. I just found it. And they sang together. And I know people are going to get mad because we're doing this, but I'm going to play a little bit. Patrick hates when we do it. But listen. Oh, yeah, I got the... So if you listen to that, they sound like, you know, you got the other guy. This is one of the real ones. See, they sound great.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad.
I would go see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I had that record. I was like 10. I loved it. It was so good.
And the real singer guy, he may be older. But they're not. He's not ugly or anything. It's. I don't know why they would hide him. I don't know.
I mean, why? Martha Wash.
Not ugly or anything.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, why would they not? Why would they not show him? I mean, the guy sings great.
I mean, Martha. The Martha Wash story is fascinating. Martha Wash.
CNC Music Factory lady.
Yeah, she was in the group, the Weather Girls. It's raining, man. That big voice.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So she was an artist. People knew her voice. People. They still. She went in and recorded when. She did Everybody Dance Now. She went in and recorded. She was told it was going to be a background track that they were going to use, and it was never going to end up on the record. She had no idea they were going to use that. And then they tried to say, well, it's not that important to the record. Are you kidding me? It's the
it
most
important. It's, little,
Everybody Dance Now.
It's the whole hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was a little mad until she saw the video, and they put this super hot woman who was also in the band, but she wasn't the one singing that. And they put her singing, and it looks like she's singing Martha Wash's part.
Hey, Carson, have you
seen
this?
That's what ticked her off.
Oh, yeah.
It's the real singer of Milli Vanilli singing with the guy who was on stage as the face
I really
of
wish
Milli
you would
Vanilli.
Stop playing this.
Patrick hates when we do this.
Yes, because...
It's newsworthy. It's newsworthy. That's what we're doing.
Well, I'm going to let you explain that to iTunes.
Is that Rob or Fab?
I don't know.
One of them did.
It's Fab. Yeah.
Okay. Rob died.
So there you go. That's kind of that's the update on the Milli Vanilli story. Well, so what was the deal? What brought that up, Big D? Because I swear we went down this rabbit hole with my family 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. It's just I think I was talking to Gunner about it once earlier this week, and I said, "Yeah, I said, man, I said there used to be Blame It on the Rain or whatever it was." I said, "And these guys were awesome." And then it comes to find out that they weren't the ones actually singing it, and he was like, "Wait, what?"
Which is so.
Like, yeah, it was like a big scam.
And like they were outed on one of the award shows. Wasn't it like the award show they got busted on or something?
Well, they
like
got
that?
Busted. This is like a big deal for the state of Connecticut. They were on stage at Hershey Lake Compounds and the track skipped. Like people
I didn't know
my
you
age,
knew that.
People my age from Connecticut will be like, that happened in Connecticut. I was there. Like we own that for
that was
some
like the
reason.
First
we're
big
so
thing to
proud
happen
of it.
In Connecticut.
Yeah. And I think, did they win the Grammy? I want to say they won the
Grammy,
that's when they were like, "Oh no, this is going to go."
Okay,
really...
but the funny thing is
Club
ironically,
MTV tour, I think.
Ironically, now 90% of the people in pop music don't actually sing their songs, mm-hmm. and if they tried to sing it live,
they would
be outed because they suck so bad.
Well, I was listening to I've got my workout play mix, and I have Britney Spears' "Toxic," and
which I
love the song, but really, when you listen to it, how much does Britney really sing? it's all backup singers and people that are under her voice. And yeah. it's like, you realize I'm not really hearing Britney Spears.
Does anybody care?
No, it's a great song. No. I mean,
look, I went to a bar to see a band play. It was a cover band. I wish I could remember their name, but Johnny and Jordan from Walker McGuire were like, you ought to see these guys. It's so much fun. We go out there and they always play on Sundays and it's this thing and they're great. I go out there. There's four guys dressed up in costumes like they're from the 80s or 90s. Okay. And there's a guitar, a bass, a drummer.
Somebody's Zach Morris.
Yeah. And a guy who's just the lead singer.
Okay.
No keyboard player, nothing else. And one guy, the guitar player's got an iPad on the stage. And they are firing off stuff. You can hear strings. You can hear keyboards. You can hear, they're playing Jump by Van Halen.
So the band, the band's
literally doing like live karaoke to, you know, yes, they were really, the drummer was really playing. The guy was really singing, but there were like background vocals on the tape. And I'm like, I don't know. This is weird. Nobody cared. The whole club full of people were like, this is so great. I'm like, they could literally be lip syncing. You wouldn't know. You just want to go to a place and see people in costumes sing songs, you know. You don't seem to care that all of those instruments are tracked and on tape. And all right.
The good times are good times. Look, we went and saw Stacey, her whole life has always wanted to go see Madonna. And I'm not a Madonna fan. I could care less. But I was like, okay, I'll go. And we went and she sang, I want to say, three times during the entire show live, because you could tell a difference. The mic was different. Everything was just, it was off a little bit.
I watched the concert movie of that, the Rebel Heart Tour. Uh-huh. That's what you guys went to, right?
I guess, whatever and this it, last yeah, and one it's, was. It's,
I'm sorry, it's blatantly obvious that she is not singing.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
I mean.
Yeah, it actually was. It was who, much better whenever she wasn't singing.
Madonna's Rebel Heart. Yeah.
That's what I get for going to see. Oh, yeah. That's one of those things you do sometimes for your wife.
She doesn't play the songs that I like anymore.
Oh, she doesn't?
No, she doesn't really play a lot of her old stuff. I think
she did like a little medley or whatever.
Exactly. But otherwise, you get stuff that's all like from Ray of Light and whatever. Like, no, I want, you know, Material Girl and I want Causing a Commotion. Come on now. Give me the Who's That Girl soundtrack.
Okay, now you're going a little too deep down there. I don't know what you mean.
Oh, she, well, if she was
causing
in,
a commotion, I don't
remember
that
one. Yeah, it was off the
one.
Who's, she was in the movie Who's That Girl, and it's off the soundtrack to Who's That Girl, which was also a single. Okay. All right, I was a really big Madonna fan, I'm just saying. And then she did, like, the Bullfighter video, and I was like, I don't even get this music, and I'm out. Yeah, okay. But it's, okay, well, Causing a Commotion is a great workout song, FYI. Just putting it out there.
Toxic is a great workout
song.
Toxic
there you go.
Is great. Britney Spears, man. Patrick touched her.
And the strings.
Yeah. You guys would laugh so hard if you saw my workout playlist. Because you just...
We'll just open up your phone and kind of go through some of them.
Okay, hold on. Let me go through the list here. And because I also, like, I mouth the words along while I'm on the treadmill, which I'm sure is kind of creepy to anybody who might be looking. Because they're like, what is this girl doing? But it's just...
It's something I've learned at the gym is nobody cares. Nobody's looking
at
you.
No, they don't. I mean, just...
That one time I went, I noticed that. I noticed nobody was looking.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's like I've got NSYNC on there with Pop and then a lot of Gaga because she's got a really good beat to run to. But then it's like Run DMC, the Black Eyed Peas, Donkey Butt from the old school players Maybe because, of course, the Tootsie Roll, DaTrain, you know, Lil R. Kelly for the people, Naughty by Nature, House of Pain, Tupac. I got Pac on there. So, yeah, it's stuff that I don't listen to, but the beat is great for me to keep a stride going. Yeah, that's it. So I'm sitting there singing like it's tricky on the treadmill. People are like, what is she doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I run DMC jams.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
See, and the weird thing is if I happen to go to the gym, I'll be listening to podcasts or you can point your TV using that Tunity app. You can point your phone to the TV, and basically whatever they have on their TV is going to play through your phone's audio. And that's a great thing because they always have like the news on and stuff like that. And I call me my dad or whatever, but that's the only time I ever get to sit down and stop and watch the news. Like we have TVs on all over around us. We've got ESPN over here, CNN over there, Fox News over there. But when do we ever stop and watch them?
No, you're working.
Only like if there's a tragedy will we kind of even pay attention to them usually. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're there in case some kind of breaking news happens and we go, oh, we have to talk about this. Something went on or whatever. It's crazy.
Would you guys be – okay, so here's your options. Would you rather work Monday through – let's see. Would you rather work Monday through Thursday, but you go from 8 to 7 p.m. or Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m.? So you have to work two extra days every single day, Monday through Thursday.
Two extra hours?
Yep. But you get Friday, Saturday,
totally
and Sunday.
I would totally do the shorter week.
Yeah, the 4x10s.
Most people would. Yeah. The problem is there are too many jobs where you can't really do that. You know, ours being one of them, because the people who work on Friday still want to be able to hear, you know, the normal show. So
yeah.
My mom worked for the state, and that was her schedule. She did 4x10. She was there 40 hours a week. And had every Friday off.
Why is it whenever you go to the DMV and you're there at lunch, everybody's gone except for one person? Like, everybody there takes off at the same time for lunch.
And that's the
two-hour lunches.
And that's when they get all their people, because people go there
on their lunch.
Yes, and they're all gone there. Everybody's taking a two-hour lunch, and there's like 75 people in the waiting room, and they're just slow. It's like the sloths from that Bunny movie. And they're like moving real slow. Whatever that one was. You didn't see a Bunny movie with the little sloths for
I don't have
at
kids.
The DMV?
No.
Oh, okay.
What am I going to do? Go to the theater and watch that? Like, oh, hey, random single woman here by yourself? Like, that's not creepy.
Zach texted me earlier, my oldest son. He asked. He's 17, and he texted me and said, hey, do you want to go see a movie, Annihilation? Have you all heard about that?
No.
Yes. I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Refresh my memory.
Science fiction movie. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I watched the trailer. I'm still not really sure what it is, but I don't care what it is, man. It's just cool to hang out with your kids when your kids are still think you're cool enough to go hang out with them in public.
Stacey and Olivia are going before the Oscars on Sunday. They're going to see The Shape of Water together. And it was Olivia who was like, hey, I want to go see this before the Oscars. And I was like, I don't know. Have you seen The Shape of Water?
No.
There's a couple things in it where you're like, anybody who's seen it knows what I'm talking about. And I'm like, my teenage daughter is going to go see that. And it's like, I don't know. Look, man, it's a lady who's in love with a fish. A merman.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to assume it's better than that description because it's nominated
actually,
for an Oscar.
It is better. It is better, but it's just that's kind of what it boils down to. Have you seen Pan's Labyrinth?
No.
Okay, because it's the same dude.
As we've discovered, I don't watch movies. Like, Bubba about lost his mind when I told him I hadn't seen Avatar.
That, to me, is insane.
But Patrick hasn't
Back
either.
In the day, you didn't see when
we
it had
have two
all that.
People no. in this room who have not seen Avatar.
Never saw it.
No.
I mean,
and you said
care.
You didn't see you haven't seen Titanic, right?
No, Titanic's like my favorite movie with humans in it. I love it.
Who was it the other day that I was talking to that didn't see it?
I don't know, but I've seen...
Somebody in the building.
Have y'all seen that Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri?
No.
I would like to, but I have not. I wait for stuff to come on, like HBO.
Zootopia, by the way. Thank you, Danielle, for the assist. Zootopia is the one with the sloths at the DMV.
Now, have you seen it?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
And?
I would wait till I rented it. I don't rent it.
Don't pay.
It's one of those that you go, wow, that's the way y'all ended it. That's
like The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Do you remember The Wrestler,
yes,
the way that ended?
Yes, that one I saw. And yeah, like, that one I was like, what?
Yeah.
No. The worst ending of any movie ever is Old Country.
No Country for Old Men.
I've never seen it.
Never seen it, but I heard it just stops.
The
just
worst.
Like, well, like The Wrestler. That's what The Wrestler does. It just stops.
Yes, it does. But it takes you a second. At the end of The Wrestler, you kind of go, what?
And you have to fill in the blanks.
Oh, okay, yeah. I get it. But with No Country for Old Men, like, I thought I was calling Comcast. I was like, hey, what just credits? Oh, never mind.
It's like the end of The Sopranos.
Oh.
People thought their cable went out.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't watch The Sopranos. I was busy in baby life at that time.
But that was because the ending was so abrupt. And I think for a couple of seconds, the screen was black. And people freaked out thinking that HBO had gone out at the end of the season. And it was not the case. It was that's how the dude decided to end it.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden texted in and says, I wanted to say that Carson is really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
Jaden.
Patrick got a compliment, too. Somebody said, Patrick looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
I do.
No,
I
but
am one good-looking dude.
You have been busting your butt to lose weight. And somebody who maybe hasn't.
No. Carson's been busting her butt. I don't eat carbs. That's it. It's
Don't sell yourself short. You really made an effort.
I heard you this morning talking about how you were going to the gym every day. I'm like, I haven't been to the gym in a month.
That's okay. You're still doing it. I mean, again, cutting out carbs is not easy. And I've watched you pass by food trays at parties.
Dude, he skipped that.
Yeah,
Big D got a birthday cheesecake from our friend Marianne. Marianne, you're the best.
Yes, thank
you. Seriously, because we have been feasting in here on the strawberry cheesecake from Junior's. Oh, so amazing.
Junior's cheesecake in Brooklyn.
Hello, Brooklyn.
Name, okay, who can go around the room and name a song that has Brooklyn in it? I'll start. No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. Thanks for taking the easiest one.
All right, go ahead, Bobby.
I'll go first.
Brooklyn. I'm sure there's a song named Brooklyn. Just go with it. I've taken them all up.
Isn't there what's the guy's name? The one that you don't like?
Billy Joel?
Billy Joel song
about
Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got
something.
That's
New York State of Mind. That's not Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I'm sure he mentions it.
Jay-Z has a couple of songs about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Go Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Go Hard.
Yeah, Old Dirty Bastard has a song called Brooklyn Zoo.
ODB, you mean?
Barry Manilow has Brooklyn Blues. Brooklyn Blues.
Of course
Blues.
You know a Barry Manilow song.
Of course I do.
Are there any country songs
no.
that
what?
Mention Brooklyn? No, I'm just saying.
What?
Who knows?
If you don't already know the answer to that is no.
How many times have you seen Barry Manilow?
You big fan of Low.
I'm trying to count here. The first time when I was like 7, I don't know, maybe about 10. I think I flew out to Vegas twice to see him.
Amateur.
And I saw multiple.
Flew out to Vegas.
Yeah, when
to
he
see
did
him.
The residency. I went once with my girlfriends and then I immediately called my mother and I'm like, we have to go. It's amazing. And so I went to 2 shows on that next trip. And I've seen him 2 or 3 times when he's made the rounds in the last couple of years.
He's done now though, right?
He's still doing some shows here and there. Like a friend of mine actually called me and she goes, I've got tickets to see Barry Manilow and I'm flying you in. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, it's Friday night. Well, that's cool. But I have a job and responsibilities. So I appreciate you and I love you, but I can't come. So
you're skipping?
Barry yeah, it Manilow? Was. It wasn't this. It was a couple months ago
oh.
that it happened. But yeah, it was very nice of her, but it didn't work out.
I don't think there's any artist that I would fly somewhere to go see.
James Taylor?
No.
I've flown to see a lot of bands.
I almost set up a trip to go see the Smashing Pumpkins just so I could see them twice on this tour that's coming up.
I want to go
I was
going to
turn it into a, oh, I also visit some of my friends who live there kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then I decided that they were going to be out of town, so I didn't have the excuse.
See, I can't give you guys a country artist because we obviously get to see just
about
everybody.
I've seen all of them.
But
I
will tell you who I would love to see before he dies is Phil Collins.
Oh, same.
He was supposed to do a big tour, but then I don't think it ever came.
Well, he's unhealthy. Like, something's going on. But I just want to hear, like, in the air tonight where you go. And everybody does the same. Ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop.
Yeah.
I want to do the air drums with the entire crowd at a concert. I think that would be the coolest.
That is pretty cool.
It would be great.
I feel like a lot of people probably get punched. Or
what, during
get on
that
the
part?
Head. Yes, if everybody in the crowd's playing air drums at the same time.
It'd be so fun. It'd be such a good time. Well, if he tours, we should go.
He's,
I'd be all
he
in for that.
He is playing all over the world, but not in.
But not here.
Really? He's doing shows?
America. Yeah.
I thought, last I heard was like a couple of months ago that he was going to die. I heard he was not in good health at all. And like his son is now playing drums for him or something. I really, this has been a while.
Yeah, I hadn't heard any of that. I mean,
maybe it's the same guy
tour.
Who started the rumor about In the Air tonight that there's somebody drowning and didn't lend a hand.
Yeah,
maybe
people are making that rumor. No, that's not true.
You know, my dad even asked me if that was true. And that was part of me. I was like, you know, I could tell he wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what?
Let it be true.
Why don't I just tell him it's true? Because, first off, what's it matter? If it's and once true I or tell not. Him, he's going to stop asking other people, so he's not going to get another view on it.
For the two or three people listening to the podcast who don't know what we're talking about, in the air tonight from Phil Collins, the rumor was that he was singing a song about something that happened in real life where he watched somebody let their girlfriend or fiance or whatever drown, and he's like, I saw you. I saw what you did, the whole thing, and that's what the song's about. Yeah. But apparently that's not true.
It's not, no.
Which
it's not
is a bummer because I wanted it to be true.
It
Phil
is
Collins
true.
Played a bunch of shows in the United Kingdom, and now he is playing all over South America, but he is not.
So Louisiana, Texas,
no.
Florida.
Not Southern America.
Oh, dang it.
South America.
Okay.
Totally,
I mean, I love
totally
you some Phil Collins,
things.
But I'm not getting on a flight for that.
Not going to Argentina?
No.
Or Argentina.
To see.
Nobody wants to go
Argentina.
There.
Argentina, is that what you said?
No, Argentina.
He's trying to say Argentina.
Trying to say Argentina. I said Argentina. Whatever. You know.
So, Patrick, what's the update on you and Vivica? Because everybody wants to know. I'm shifting gears from Phil Collins.
Great. And
she threw away your shoes.
Away
for those
shoes.
Of you who haven't heard, Vivica has updated Patrick's footwear.
Yeah, I'm wearing new shoes. So.
Are you wearing them right now?
I'm wearing them right now.
Lift them up.
No, I'm not.
Come on.
But, come on.
Come on.
Can you even
they're
see
They're really
them?
Nice.
They're just regular. They're yeah. just gray and white tennis shoes.
Look at that, though.
Styling.
The thing is, my old shoes I'd had for about 2 years, and I wear them almost every day, and they were literally falling apart. Like, the sole was off of one of them.
Not literally like most people say in conversation. You like, know, they were literally like, falling apart.
There's a hole in the, like, you know, on the inside, sometimes you'll wear a hole in the back. I don't even know what that's called. But
the heel?
The back, the heel of the shoe. Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. I had worn them, but they were comfortable, so I wore them all the time. And none of you guys were going to say anything except Carson, who said something quite frequently.
Well, I said things back in the past, but I gave up.
But Dee said something like, I can't believe she threw your shoes away. But I did give them to her and say, go ahead, throw them. Like, yeah. You know, I told her she could. She
you know
got
you
all
want
excited
to.
About it. Yeah, you know you want to throw them away. And she got all excited. So she bought me two pairs of shoes. So I have new shoes.
She actually bought three.
Mm-hmm. You have but to, one of them didn't quite fit, so that's why I didn't keep that one. But yeah, so I have new shoes. Yay!
Oh, just be careful, man.
Oh, come on.
I'm saying, man, it's like baby steps, man. Before
I
you
have
know
always
it,
said
she's laying out your clothes out for the day.
Carson can back me up, and you guys have heard this too, although I doubt you remember it. I've always said I really don't care how I dress.
Yeah.
If you have a specific way you want me to dress, fine, as long as it's not uncomfortable or really, really stupid. You know, go. Give me the clothes. I'll wear them. I don't care.
I wish I had a stylist. Like, wouldn't it be great to have somebody who laid out your stuff
yes.
for you?
Yes,
so
it
you
would.
You wake up and you have five outfits ready for you in the morning. You're like, which one shall I dress in today? And you know, no matter what, it's going to be the right one because a stylist picked it out. That would be the best. And like, there are people that have that.
Oh, yeah. There are people that have that.
I think there's an app where you can take pictures of like all the clothing in your wardrobe and it'll put outfits together for you.
Oh, Big D and I tried to do something like. Do you remember?
Seems
that?
Like a
we
lot
were
of effort.
Invent an app about getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that?
So we had this idea. Of,
oh my god! I can't believe we're gonna do that.
It was basically that, and it was okay. So the app is you take a picture, and then you send it to whoever, and they say which ones you pick.
It's
this
like
one or this
hot
one.
Or not, but instead of you, they're judging two outfits.
Yes.
Which outfit should I wear?
Oh.
And we called it this. Or
this
that.
Or that. Which?
Yeah. Which.
Oh, we
yeah.
called it which. That was W-H-I-C-H. W-H-I-C-H.
Yeah.
Like
which
sandwich.
One?
Yeah. Food.
And so we went through the whole process. Like, this was our out. Like, we were going to develop
this. This is retirement for us.
And the old finger to the world. Later! And
so we found out someone had already invented the exact same app.
Thanks for jumping on my story there. But yeah, so we got a guy involved on it who came in and an app designer. And I think it was him who looked it up and he was like,
guys,
yeah,
this isn't going to happen.
And it was called This or That. And it was the exact same premise.
Bummer.
Yeah. And we're like,
it was a good concept, though.
You know, we still should have done it. Because
I remember where we were sitting. We were in the green room going, oh.
Yeah, we should still do that, though, because you know what?
No, the Price is Right fail
50
horn
other people
played.
Are doing it. 50 other people are making that app as we speak
it's
right
true.
Now because of this. But the thing is, we could have still done it. We should have still done it.
I think we were so disappointed that because once we found out that we weren't the first ones, we were kind of like, oh, we'll just forget it.
Yeah, yeah, but you want to be the big one. You don't have to be. Yeah, you don't want to be the big one or the first. You want to be the big one. And a lot of times, you know, Xerox wasn't the one who invented the copy machine, but they're the ones who got popular.
Who invented the copy machine?
John Copy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And the copiers.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Copy and the copiers. Glad to be here tonight. Hey, everybody. I'm John Copy and the copiers. Good to be here tonight.
Amy wants to know, why is Carson wearing a beanie? Is it cold in there here in the studio? Yes.
Carson also has not washed her hair in a few days.
Oh.
And it's my new beanie. Oh, can you see this? I don't know.
It looks like a little crown.
Yeah, like Jughead. I got it from Hot Topic. It's the Jughead beanie from Riverdale. Not even lying.
Way too excited.
Yeah, I know. It's my Jughead beanie.
All right. Settle down, of course.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited by my Jughead beanie. It came in the mail, and a friend of mine was like, you want to go to dinner? Yes, and I'm going to be wearing my new hat. She said, this is the hat? Yes, it's my Jughead beanie.
Is that the one from the show? Like,
yeah, see?
The one?
Yeah, see? It's got little points and crap.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the
one. It has,
one.
It's even got the Riverdale tag inside of it.
Oh, we see your hair now.
Well, I mean, like. But yeah, see, it says Riverdale.
Oh, see, that's pretty great.
No, that's so lame, but I don't care because I'm eternally 14.
Anything else before we go? I have an early thing I have to get to. Yes.
What are you going to do with the rest of that cheesecake?
You can have it.
Really?
I mean, Bubba and I could go to the gym or we could just eat cheesecake.
It's 510 calories per slice.
I had some and it was so, so good.
So amazing.
It really was like... Wow, but no, because if I take it, I'll eat it. So
And if you leave it, we'll eat it.
No, well, I'm leaving.
Carson, it's time for a cake and coffee party. all right, thanks again to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And again, stick around at the end of the podcast. Those of you watching on Facebook, you're missing out because we're about to play an awesome interview with an amazing songwriter, Luke Laird. So thanks, y'all.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, it's our Songwriter Spotlight series, and Luke Laird is here. Luke has not written many songs. He is kind of a newbie. He's only had like one, two, three, four.
You know, off the top of your head, how many number one songs have you written?
23.
Oh
my God.
Wow.
Seriously, do you go out to the mailbox and just get a check and you go, God, well, I don't know what this is even from?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's direct deposit. So.
That's a good answer.
You just wake up and there's money in your account.
No, I actually don't. I don't even know what to say.
That's a great one. Luke is in, and he has written stuff like, I'll just give you a kind of a rundown. He'll tell some stories and sing some, but American Kids from Kenny, Baggage Claim from Miranda, which I like because it was so weird sounding. You know, I hadn't heard anything like that. Oh, weird in a bad way, but
yeah,
it was different. It was unique.
It stood out.
Diamond Rings and Old Bar Stools, Downtown, Drink in My Hand. You got a couple of Eric Church songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hometown, right, was yours?
Yep.
Pontoon, Little Big Town.
Sunshine and Whiskey.
You know, we're on Parking Lot Party, right? You do know that, right?
You're what? Oh, that's right. That's right.
Us.
On the beginning, on the album.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's not a party. It's a Parking Lot Party with Lee
Bryce. The only song
Bryce.
I've ever written with Lee Bryce. So.
Well, really?
Yeah.
T-shirt, Talladega. Are you a racing fan?
Man. I'm such a sellout because...
No. Oh, don't tell me.
I know,
just stop.
I know.
You know what? I'm sorry. I even asked that question.
Yeah.
Did Eric know that you don't know anything about racing?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, when we wrote that song, he wanted it to... You know, he was talking about the race culture, but as much as of anything, he wanted it to be about just buddies hanging out. So, for me, the way I got inspiration for that was just going to concerts with my friends because it's, you know, there's a lot of similarities. If you listen to that song, I mean, there's not a ton about... actually about racing it, you know, technically.
No, yeah, you're right.
It's more about the emotion and the feeling.
The anticipation of going.
Do you still like going to concerts?
I do. It's a good reminder of, you know, who I'm writing these songs for. And it's for the country music fans, and which is what I am and what I started out as. So, yeah, I love going to shows.
I don't know, Patrick. Hey, look, cover your ears up so you don't hear this. Like, how great is Luke?
He's really good. If there was an all-star team, he'd be on the all-star team.
Like, is he the LeBron, or is he like...
Is he Steph Curry?
Yeah. Is he looking at me right now?
No.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I do have the male pattern baldness. I'm not as athletic as LeBron.
Yeah. Little Big Town, you did Pontoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A fun song, man.
Man, it's one of the most fun songs I've been a part of. And I wrote this with Natalie Hemby and Barry Dean. And honestly, it's funny how this song came about, because Natalie and I had written a song for Miranda Lambert that was an album cut a few albums ago called Fine Tune. Well, one day, Natalie was in at her publisher's office, and through the wall, she was playing the demo of Fine Tune. And, the way things sound through a wall, you can't hear very clearly. And somebody came over and said, "What was that song you were just playing, that one about the pontoon?" And they were like, "What? That's called Fine Tune." So Natalie, Barry, and I get together to write this. She's telling us that story. So, I mean, of course, as soon as she says it, we just kind of all look at each other. Well, I guess we got to write a song called Pontoon. It's just too...
When you finished writing that song, did you think, oh, this is a hit? Or did you think, well, we wasted our afternoon?
No, I actually thought I love this song, and I couldn't wait to share it with people. I knew that just even the way the demo sounded and everything, it was a little quirky. I knew, maybe a lot of label people wouldn't be like, this is a guaranteed hit. But I knew that I was excited about it, and it was just goofy enough, but I wanted to keep playing it and listen to that demo back. So we had a couple different artists. Actually, guys had this on hold, like Dierks Bentley. This was when Kix Brooks was making a solo record, and I was just, like, excited that somebody liked it. But nobody really, like, they liked it but weren't going to record it until Little Big Town.
I think the right people got the song. Yeah. Ultimately, it was a perfect Little Big Town song.
It really was, and it was kind of when they were transitioning and making a new, just kind of coming with a whole new sound. And so when I started, just hearing that, like, I was just, in the way that the vocals sounded, those guys are such great singers, they were singing live in the studio. When I left that studio, I was like, okay, we may have written a hit. And I called my co-writers. I'm like, you guys aren't going to believe how cool for the time, how different it sounded, but it just kind of jumped out of the speakers. So it was super exciting.
Can you do it for us? But can you say fine tune instead of pontoon?
Hey, you know what? I can.
Have you ever done that before?
Or you could do it your way. I'm totally cool with whatever.
I don't know what language barriers there are. This is just a podcast, right?
Yeah, it's just a podcast. No one's
listening. So literally the first song, the first line started like this. I asked Natalie, I was like, she's like, I don't know if I want to write Pontoon. Like, Barry and I were like, what would you say? Like, if you were going to write a song called Pontoon, first line, and I was just playing this. And she was like, okay, fine. And she's like, all right. She's like, back this bitch up into the water. She said that. I was like, okay. Untie all the cables and rope. Step onto the AstroTurf. Get yourself a koozie. Let's go. Well, who said anything about skiing? Floating is all I wanna do. You can climb the ladder, just don't rock the boat while I barbecue. On a fine tune.
Yes.
Making waves and catching rays up on the roof. Jumping off the back, don't act like you don't want to. Party in slow motion, just out here in the open.
Great.
And we just, I mean, as you can tell, we just had a blast writing that song.
Well, it's one of those songs that you just hear and you just go, man, it immediately takes you on the lake, on the water, yeah, on the ocean, whatever you're doing. Because you wouldn't take a pontoon in the ocean, but you could.
You do.
Could, yeah.
Could. Okay. It's a fine line, guys. It's a fine line. Yeah. Hey, Luke Laird is joining us in the studio for our Songwriter Spotlight. And a couple of things about Luke. He loves professional wrestling from the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
And that kind of a broad stroke there.
Yeah.
He is also a father of two. He has had 23 number one songs that he's written or co-written, and he pulls off a flat bill cap pretty good. And
he drives a big old truck.
Yeah, it's
country music, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. And now the truck has something to do with writing a song with Eric Church, doesn't it?
That very truck that you see parked outside there. This was March of 2013. Eric has a cabin out in North Carolina, and before he makes an album, he usually will just stay out there for a couple months at a time and just write. So I was going out there to write for 2 or 3 days. And so I was had my 2004 Nissan Frontier that had served me very well. But my dream truck was always to have a black Ford F-150. So I'd talked to my wife about it and said, at some point, you know, I'd love to, you know, especially when we're going to have kids and that. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. So I was driving Interstate 40 from Nashville to North Carolina, and I'd start having transmission issues. So I just took it as a sign as well. You're supposed to have a new truck.
yes, so that's right. That's how Jesus works.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I called my wife and I said, hey, you know, I'm really been thinking a lot about this truck. I feel like now's a good time to. She's like, yeah, I think that, you know, once you get back from that trip, let's go look at. So I'm like, no, I mean, like today would be a good.
Like right,
good.
She's right like, now. Well,
I might not make it to Eric's
I
house.
I said, look, I got to get to, you know, right with Eric Church. This is a great opportunity. You know, it could be great for our family. Mm-hmm. And, but she was like, okay. And so there was one in Knoxville that had the truck that she thought that I liked. She emailed me the Edmunds report.
Wow.
Was like, here it is. Don't pay more than what this says.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there. So it's again pouring rain. I pull into this dealership in Knoxville, Tennessee. So I'm like, I need to buy this as quickly as possible. So they're bringing me out these cardboard boxes to get all my coffee mugs and whatever, and we transfer over. I finally get all the paperwork done. Buy this truck. Go on to show up at Eric's that night. So I get in there and Eric goes, man, nice truck. I was like, yeah, it's new. He goes, awesome. I go, yeah, I just bought it today. He's like, today? I said, yeah, we really have to write a single. which anybody that knows how songwriting works,
we need
it's
hit.
Hard to make a living unless you write hits. It really is. If you're just a songwriter, he goes, well, man, I've actually been thinking of this one idea I want to write. And it's about a Civil War soldier who's dead, who's writing letters back to his wife who's still alive. So I said, well, okay, we're not writing a single today. And, I know how well that's going to go over on radio.
But, did you that know, even end up on an album?
No.
No, it did not.
But you know what?
Did that song get written?
It got written.
Yeah.
I am here to serve the artist. So I was like, absolutely, let's do it. Let's do it. And so the thing I know with Eric is he writes all different kinds of songs, and I want to write all of them with him because they're all going to be pretty good because he's such a great writer. But I just said, well, I'm just going to power through on this one. And then the day after that, we ended up writing a song that actually turned into a hit. I didn't know it was going to be at the
time. Don't tell us what it is. Just start going into it.
Yeah.
Damn, I used to love this view. I'd sit here and drink a few. Main Street in the high school. Up on Friday night, down there it's another touchdown. Man, this year's team is stout. I can hear him going crazy. And up here, so am I. I think about you sitting there saying, I hate this, I hate it. If you couldn't stand living here, why'd you take it? Take it, yeah. Me, babe. This is my hometown.
It's pretty good, but it's no Rebecca. I'm out here on the fighting line.
It sure is cold out here.
I'm telling you what, I need to find that.
Oh my gosh,
I want to hear that song.
I wish you'd have played the Civil War song, because you know what? I wish we had a demo of it. And the next time Eric's in, we're like, we have a song. This is the new hit song from Eric Church, and it just lights into this Civil War song demo. He'd be like, wait, how'd you get that?
That might actually help me out.
Yeah, well, hey, whatever it takes, man. Our songwriter spotlight today, Luke Laird, songwriter, 23 number ones, like Pontoon, T-shirt from Thomas Rhett, Talladega, Eric Church, you know, Pringles Girl.
That's not a real song.
Whatever. By the way, Pringles Girl, that's a hit, just for the record.
Pringles Girl.
Pringles Girl.
A lot of girls can relate.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, she can get her whole hand inside to get the Pringle.
Yeah, she's got them tiny,
the tiny Pringle hands. Unless you get the last Pringle at the bottom of the can
without flipping it over.
That's her Pringles. You marry that girl.
Give me the tingles. Used to be single,
but not no mo, cause she got Pringles.
Not no mo.
Not no mo.
Got the Pringle in the hand, Pringles and Single.
Aren't there like different flavors now too?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
There's you got sour
cream and onion.
Got barbecue.
All right.
I used to love the original. How about you?
Now don't like them cheddar Pringles, cause they way too orange and powdery.
You get on your fingers, you lick them, and Pringle girl, here she is.
She's just a Pringle. She's just a Pringle girl.
A little harmony. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, all she is, all she ever gonna be. It works out good for me. Just a Pringle, Pringle girl.
Yeah, Pringle girl.
All right.
I remember what you were wearing.
We bring Bubba in to do the rap in the middle.
Bubba can be a pop the top girl. Yeah. Here we go. Gonna make a day to be on the show.
Pop top. Yo, figures I'm wearing them black.
So let's talk real stuff now. Pringle girl's nice.
No, that's good. Hey, so tell us about American Kids from Kenny Chesney.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry to get you back off on track there. Yeah.
No, I was
an actual real legit hit.
My wheels were turning.
I'm telling you right now, when we hear Pringle Girl on the radio in 6 months, we're gonna be like, "Hey,
dude,
hey, you guys, you know, it's even splits in
Nashville." All right, there you go. That's how we're talking.
So, okay, American Kids I was writing with Shane McAnally and Rodney Clausen. That's what kind of my key to success is, just to surround myself with writers who are better than I am.
Yeah, it's very smart.
I'm good with riding the coattails, but this particular song, we had been working on a different song, and I think we all knew about halfway through the day that this probably wasn't the best that we could do. Like, just, we were just kind of doing it to do it. And so we're like, let's switch gears. So I actually picked up a bass guitar that I had over there in my studio and just started playing like on a bass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started like a stomp clap. Basically just real simple like that. And then we were talking about how we grew up, and Rodney was talking about red dirt roads, and I grew up on a dirt road. It wasn't red dirt. But anyways, we just honestly didn't have the title American Kids, which a lot of times when you're writing songs, that's, you know, you have the title first and you kind of write to it. On this particular day, we just started writing like just true lines that we could relate to. And we literally got down to as far as the line of, baby, come and give me a kiss. So, okay, let's find a line that rhymes with that. But it basically has to be the whole point of the song. And we're like, kids rhymes, but for some, I don't know who said it. I wished I did. I don't think it was me, but I would give credit. It was either Rodney or Shane said American Kids. And we were like, that sounds cool. So we wrote it all the way up to that. And we thought, man, this is awesome. This sounds cool. But then to me, what really takes this song over the top is that post-chorus, because that's just where everybody, you know, growing up in lit. It's just fun.
Yeah.
And so that's how it happened.
Wow.
And I wish that would happen more often to me.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in a cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, because this is where the truck broke down. Yellow dog school bus kicking up red dust, picking us up by a barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus Save Me, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to LA. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come and give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American Kiss. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on a Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Hey!
How much money did you make on that?
That's ridiculous. That's your go-to question.
That is ridiculous.
I don't know, but I mean, I want to do it again.
You made
just think of the truck you could buy.
I mean,
yeah.
think about, that's how you make your live doing it that.
Is. I know it sounds cliche now, but I do feel very blessed to get to do this for a living, because I'm just, I don't even know what to say, that I get to do it. And people ask me all the time, where do you see yourself in 10 years? You know, my wife and I started a little publishing company and stuff. And I go, honestly, if I'm getting to just do this, I'll be,
yeah
you know, happy. And I know I won't always have as many hits, but getting to be creative for a living is, you know,
it's a great story.
You guys know that. So,
yeah.
Luke Laird, you can follow him. Are you doing Twitter and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I got the socials.
Okay. Luke Laird, you can follow him. And what a great singer-songwriter, or songwriter spotlight, man. We appreciate you doing this, man.
Thank you, guys.
Really
for
cool stuff.
Me.